Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Well, it's pastor appreciation, and we're excited. We have some great pastors. We are very blessed. You know, you hear horror stories sometimes, but you don't hear them out of us, do you? We have great pastors. Good pastor. Can Tasha and Pastor Doug come up here? I'm going to go ahead and hand this to you because I don't know what else to do with it, and it's in front of the camera. But what? Did somebody say something over there? Anyway, I just put it together. You know, I like to do pictures for everybody. Do you guys need to stand over here so you can be, so people online can see you? Yeah, yeah. Let's go to the next picture, Valerie. Oh, look. Isn't that sweet? Little Philip. He's a baby.
No Caitlin.
No Caitlin yet. No. Let's go to the next one. There, we're a little bigger. Caitlin's here. Let's go on. Got the whole family there, I think. Think so. Not Philip? Oh, okay, probably. All right, next one. I had to get Elliot in the picture. Elliot joined the family. Next picture. I was just picking out good pictures. The next one. Yeah, got Elliot in that one. Is Philip there? Okay. Okay, there we go. There's the family, all grown up. Aww. It's a sweet,
that was our first cruise, courtesy of Vision Church.
Yeah. Well, we don't have a cruise this year.
Nobody has a cruise.
No.
Bummer.
But,
Fort Worth Stock Show and Rodeo, right? 2021? Oh,
no.
Oh, no.
That's been canceled, too. Yeah. So, I know. Cruise
down the road.
You might need a little more on mic one there.
Mic one. I'm on three. Are you?
Check one, two.
We got you. All right, next one. Okay, this is our gift to you. Due to COVID, we have three takeaways. Okay, it's not the usual that we would like to do, but three takeaways. Number one is take your family to lunch today on the church. So whatever you spend on lunch, the church is footing the bill. So
lobster tail
and prime rib. Yeah, charge the church, because we knew you'd want to take everybody and have a big family meal, and so that. Secondly, take this gift of $1,200 from the church. Oh, now, wait a minute.
Don't let her have it.
No, it has your name on it, but it's for her, too.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right.
And to spend any way you want, because we don't know what the future holds and what you're going to be able to do or what you'd want to do, so... That's just all we need to do. Now, the next part is a little cheesy, but it's very true. Take our love and gratitude with you.
A basket of cheese? Is that what you said? Where? A cheese bag. I love cheese.
Our love and gratitude with you always, because we love you as a church. And we love you, Pastor Duncan. It's in print.
It's right there.
So it's true. I do want to say one thing. They're very special to me, and they know that. Pastor was very supportive when I felt the call to go into ministry. And Tasha has just been such a friend. And I wasn't going to do this, but I'm trying not to cry. But we pray for each other's kids. She's like my sister. And I just love you so much. So.
Well, I'm just super excited that all my kids are here. It worked out so good. I was so excited just for the whole weekend and some of their significant others and who they have picked to be with. And so I am just so excited that all of you are here. And, of course, Cameron's not sitting with you, but he is back there. and for him to be serving in ministry with us. And I can look at my kids, and I know that many of you have had a part in their life in praying for them and loving them and supporting them. And I'm just so grateful for that. And like Cindy said, you know, if we didn't have the body of Christ, there's times that, you know, we wouldn't make it as successful as we do. It's just each other being together and loving one another and forgiving one another and standing beside one another and crying with one another and laughing with one another. And that's what this church has done with us for 25 years. And I am so
in March.
So grateful. And I'm just so grateful that I can look at my kids and know that they are serving the Lord and that they love the Lord. And as the scriptures say in the Word, there's nothing greater that you can say or tell me than that my kids are living for Jesus and they have Jesus in their heart. And I know as I look at the mothers that have prayed for your children, as pastor, if I have prayed for your children, that is our greatest joy. And so I'm very grateful, and I'm just so grateful. This last week we heard about a church that they were fist fights in the foyer, and they had to let some people go from staff because they were just off the charts with some things. And I just thought, Lord, I'm so grateful for Vision Church. I'm so grateful for the love. And, you know, we have differences of opinion sometimes.
What?
I know. But we love each other. We love each other, and we're there for each other. And I'm just so grateful. And that's what Jesus says, that you will know them by their love. And so we want our building full of people that we can love. And we know that sometimes loving people is a challenge. But that's what Christ has called us to do. And so I'm very grateful that you have loved us so graciously and for so many years. Thank you.
Yes, it's going to be 25 years in March. And we came with 3, expanded to 4. And now mom and dad are with us. And the kids are, we're empty nesters, essentially. And so you've seen us through some of these phases of life. And so when we talk about this idea of this is my story, you are part of our story, walking through the changes of life and the chapters of life, and raising up children, caring for us, and letting us care for you. And we've had transformation and change in lives, as well as people who have moved away, others who have come in. There's been all kinds of transitions and change. I'll tell you what, though, when we get into the Father's presence, there'll be no more changing in that sense, and we're going to be a great reunification. And we're going to get to talk about all those little details of how the story played out and developed because of each other and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in each one of us. So we just want to say it's always a good thing to give thanks, right? Give honor to whom honor is due, and you're doing that. But I want to say thank you to you as a congregation, because you have made it a joy and a blessing to serve in ministry. I hear a lot of the horror stories told by ministers, and I have to sit there and say, ain't got nothing. Makes me wonder, am I not doing something right? What's wrong? But I'm just reminded of the unity and the love and the people that, regardless of opinion and other things, we all love Jesus and we love each other. Amen? And we want to do everything we can to expand His kingdom till Jesus returns and takes us all to go home. So thank you. Thank you for this appreciation Sunday. We appreciate it so much.
You're going to have to help carry.
Okay. Oh, is this for me? Thank you. My favorite live plant.
Okay. I wanted to do something special for Pastor Doug and Tasha, because I know usually we have a big meal next door in the multipurpose building, but, you know, with COVID-19 and everything, it probably wasn't a good idea to pack all of us into that space. So we thought maybe that wouldn't be the brightest thing. But so I thought, well, let's have a special speaker, somebody who can come and somebody who has gone from this church, has been part of this church. And the first person I thought of when I was praying and thinking about it was Jeff Sanders. So Jeff, you want to come up here? Jeff served on this board for many years, has supported, you want to sit right there and I'll get over here, supported Pastor Doug and Tasha, supported the church, he and Sam. Sam couldn't be with us this morning, but we got Jeff here, and you all know his boys, Maxwell and Will, and they're part of us, and so now you're going to, if you haven't known Jeff, you'll get to know him a little bit more this morning, so we're glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to witness the best keyboard player and the best drummer there is. I mean, you know, it's an honor to be here, really. I was so tickled when I got asked. I think I got the text when I got back in my car, my truck on Wednesday night after service, and I said, hang on, Sam, I got to go talk to Linz. And I went to go ask Linz, hey, can I go do this? Because to get to show him honor as well. And he said, sure, you know, go ahead. And so I was so excited and been excited ever since. So I can't wait to share what I have to say and to give honor to one of my most favorite people.
Yeah. We are so excited. And for those of you who don't know, Jeff is associate pastor at the Biker Church House of NAMM. So he's there every Sunday. So he did have to ask permission to be here. So that's always a good thing. But so we're going to start at the beginning. Okay, so think way back.
Okay.
What was your home life like growing up? Were you brought up in church? Did you go to church sometimes? You know, how did all that happen?
Well, I had grandparents that went to church, and my parents didn't so much go to church. I remember going into a Sunday school at a Lutheran church at my mom's church that she grew up in. I remember going there and having a few of the basic Sunday school classes. But then things in our life kind of changed. I lost a little brother when I was real young and he was real young, and the whole family life, everything changed. And church became not that important. We became Christers, for the lack of a better term. You know, we were there, and you know, Christmas, Easter, and funerals, and that was pretty much the only time you'd see us at church. And there were times when I was in probably a youth that I went to a Methodist church. My grandparents on my dad's side were Methodists, and my grandfather was pretty active in ministry, or not in ministry, but within the church. And so they put me in the youth program there, but it was more like, we're dropping you off, go do your, you know. There was no encouragement from my parents or anything. So it didn't take long for me to fall away from that and just think, well, maybe there's nothing here. And then I just went and did life as a young adult.
Well, when was it that you had that born-again experience? How did that come about, and how did you start? Because I know you were leading your family in church before you came to us. So how did all that
right.
come about?
Well, so as God would have it, I guess, I was in, it was maybe 20-something years ago. I was in my 30s. We just moved here and got a house, and all my friends and everyone were you know, some of them were taking their kids to church, and I said, well, I was living pretty hard for the world, you know, and I said, well, you know, I'll check the box, and I'll take the kids to church too. And so, being that the last church I was in was a Methodist, I found a Methodist church in the neighborhood near us, and we showed up there one Sunday morning. I felt a little bit of something, and you know, it wasn't enough to get me too excited, but you know, we went to the early service so I could get home and watch NASCAR. And so, you know, that's kind of where my heart was. And having a technical background, what happened was I got in the church and I started rationalizing all this stuff. Well, how could there really have been a flood? How could there really, you know, all these things that the Bible says, how is that really even possible? And so I had an opportunity, because, you know, when you ask those questions, it's usually because you never read the Bible. And I'd picked up a Bible a couple times, and it was old English, and, you know, that's not for me either. So I got in this year-long Bible study at the Methodist Church, and within that year, God had showed me through Scripture. I was able to kind of work through a lot of those details. And I didn't know it at the time, but I was getting excited about it. So what would happen was I'd come home, and I would tell William about it. And he would kind of, you know, pick up on it. And you never know what, you know, when you say stuff to kids, you really don't know what they take in. You just kind of say it. And it was maybe a year or two after that. We had a Christmas service, and it was a special Christmas Eve or Christmas service. I don't remember which day it was, but they invited people in the church to come up there, and you came in pajamas or whatever, and you had hot chocolate, and we were in there, and people were allowed to give their testimonies. Now, I was not the person that was going to give a testimony, because that wasn't me. I was perfectly content sitting in the back, and if nobody talked to me during the whole service, I was good with that. That was me then, not me now. But I tell you, his Sunday school teacher got up. His name's Bob. He got up and he said, "There's this young man in my class that he knows more about the Bible and is more." I got to keep it together. He said he is so fired up about the Bible that, you know, I've never seen that before. And he was talking about William, and it chokes me up even now, 20 years later. It chokes me up. Because I realized then, and I had a moment, and I can't remember. I came home and I told Sam, I was like, "I get it, I got all that, you know." And I broke down then during the service, and I came home, and whether I prayed the prayer that moment or not, I honestly don't remember. I did pray it, multiple times since then, and shortly thereafter, I know. But that was the moment. That was when I realized that this is way bigger than me. And way more important than NASCAR, way more important than just about everything. And I went on at that church to, I took the second class. And in the second class, I remember we did a whole section on prayer. And I thought, well, I've never really prayed before. I knew the Lord's Prayer because I had to know that to get out of the youth class they sent me in. You know, but, and that's all what I prayed before I got on the airplane was the Lord's Prayer. But, And so when I earnestly sat down that night, one of those nights, and I remember praying, "God, just use me. If this is what, if you're real and you're out there, just use me." And within a couple of days, I get a call. "Hey, we'd like you to, you're kind of excited about this. Why don't you teach one of these classes?" And then after that, I just, whatever I got prompted to do, asked to do, I just did. I just stepped out in faith. So that's probably a little more than what you want me to say, but. But that's kind of how I went from living hard in the world to living hard for God.
What I think is so cool about that, too, is the Lord was working in you, and you really kind of didn't realize it, but you were verbalizing stuff to your son, and they really seemed to use your son then to get back, to get you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was just like a circle.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. So, and that kind of describes your born again experience. It wasn't like lightning bolts from heaven or anything, but it was real nonetheless.
It was very real.
Yeah. Can you describe about when did you decide you need to be baptized in water?
Well, you know, being a Lutheran and a Methodist before that, you know, they did the sprinkle thing, and it wasn't until my journey from the Methodist Church to the Assemblies of God Church went through Pastor Lenz Walker. He and I was doing some ministry actually at that point over at a nursing home on Skyline Drive next to the old River Community Church of River Oaks, and he'd come over there and play guitar, you know. And he's always trying. He's a great evangelist, and I'm honored it goes out to him as well today. And he said, "Why don't you come over to my church? You know, you're not gonna have time to go back to your church." So I said, "Oh, okay," you know. And I get there, and the Holy Spirit was moving that day. I think Sister Linda gave a message in tongues, and somebody else interpreted. I don't remember who, but I remember just thinking, wow, there is a whole lot more to this than what I'm getting. And when I got plugged in, so long story short, when I got plugged into the Assemblies of God Church, I realized how important it was to follow Scripture. Some churches don't follow Scripture, believe it or not. They follow their own doctrine, and they sprinkle it with Scripture. And so when Scripture says you must be, go baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the only scriptural evidence and reference is baptism by immersion, then I got to sign up for that. And that was also part of becoming a member of the church. I had to be baptized, and Samantha and I got baptized at the same weekend, I believe, and shortly thereafter we became members.
Well, I know this next part of the story, but I want you to share it about when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah, I love telling that. And I tried for, I want to say years, it felt like years, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, I would be at church. I would be on at that. Sometimes, later on, we got in the praise and worship team. And thank you, Tasha, for allowing me that opportunity. And, I was able to get in there. And I know there were times where the hair on the back of my neck was standing up. And I was singing. And it was just like, but I couldn't ever get there. And I couldn't get there because I was afraid of what people would say or what they would hear. And then my analytical mind kept kind of working through it, what if it's not real? What if it's just me? And so I tried real hard, and they had a special Friday night service, and it was Pastor Denny Miller. He came and it was Friday night. It was in the admin part of the old, by the movie theater, and it was that Friday night, a real small thing. And you know what? Sam and I really didn't. I don't think we had an argument, but we weren't really, we weren't really hitting it off real well that night, And part of me was like, I don't even feel like going to church, But I put myself in the car and I drove into church, and I went in there and I just gave it all to God. There's not a formula, and I tell people this when we pray for them. There's not a formula. There's not certain things you can say that'll get that utterance started. But he just, this Holy Spirit just fell on me, and it changed everything. It changed everything for me, and that was about in 2013, not too long ago, really. And shortly thereafter that, I got called. I was called into motorcycle ministry, and I've been on different assignments ever since then. But it was just a really powerful experience. And even afterwards, there was a few days after, I was like, did that really happen? And I'd find myself still praying in tongues. And I have to confess, there was a couple years later over in this church, Denny Miller came back, and I thought, I wonder if I can have that same experience again. And it was the same kind of thing. And sure enough, I was standing right up here, And it just as powerful, if not more, renewing that time. And so it's real. I tell people it's real. I can only explain my experience and encourage them. And we've prayed for people at our church, and they've received a baptism in the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
Well, that's a good segue, because you said not too long after that you were called into ministry. So tell us about that.
So about that time. Pastor Lins had retired. Him and I used to work together, and he had gone off. And from most people that at work, think he went crazy, because he drew his hair real long and started. But what he did was he went into motorcycle ministry. And I remember we would keep in touch, but he came and he had lunch with me and some other managers from work, and we were, I forget what restaurant we were even at, but. We were sitting around a big round table, and he was telling about the stuff he did, and I thought, that's really cool, and the Lord just planted a seed in my heart, and I couldn't stop thinking about getting a motorcycle, because I'd ridden a long time before that, and I'd even ridden for a while, and then got rid of it for a while, and I just couldn't get that out of my heart, and so I felt called into ministry, and so I did that, and right away, joined Honor Bound Motorcycle Ministry, which is the Assemblies of God U.S. Missions Program. And I'm in that. And let me think. So we did a lot of ministry there. I'm a chaplain right now on Run for the Wall, which is the motorcycle trip that goes from L.A. to D.C. every year. It takes Vietnam vets, and now we're doing other vets. Anybody's invited. But we ride from here to L.A. and then L.A. to D.C. and D.C. to back. I serve as a chaplain on there. I've done that, I think, 5 years now. And, and we help minister to the people that are struggling to get across country because they're Vietnam vets, and we end up going to the wall. So it's tough for a lot of them. We also help people that when they have accidents, we're the first ones on the scene with the medics. And so we go to the hospitals, and we take care of them that way. And then all the stuff after hours, we're talking and ministering to people. And so he's done that. And then about 4 years ago or so, we had been doing a service over at Bethesda. And about 4 years or so ago, we got invited to do a service out at a place called Newman's, which is a small compound off of Lake Worth. All the bikers know about it in the community because they always have bike rallies out there. They used to have some very secular things out there, okay? And they invited us out there to do an Easter service, or a service for one of the bike rallies, and so we did. And they said, "Well, can you come back and do an Easter service?" And we're like, "Okay." And then, "Well, can you come back next week?" And it just kind of built to that, and we've been there ever since. And it's God. It's not, Pastor Lenz is awesome. We have a great staff. But God's moved in a big way. That place now is holy ground. You know, and those things that used to happen there don't happen there anymore. And people's lives get transformed. And that's my current assignment right now, is to be with Lenz and to support him and to support the church. But I've told some people that, you know, God's pulling me in a different direction. I feel that. I don't know where that new direction is right now, but I'm kind of sensing that assignment's starting to kind of point me in a different direction, and we'll see what that is. It's exciting.
It is, yeah. You know, I know that a lot of you probably don't know this, but this is just, I'm going to toot your horn for a minute.
Oh.
But when we were at the theater and we had to haul that trailer full of our stuff, everything, and nobody had anything to haul it with. I mean, we didn't have anything. Jeff went and bought a truck so he could haul our equipment. And that is just a testimony of somebody seeing a need and feeling like God wanted him to answer it and answering it. Now, that wasn't a big ministry thing as far as most people knew, but it's just being obedient to the Lord and wanting to do what you can for the Lord and to further the gospel. And that just shows his heart all along. And then to see the other things that have happened, I think is really awesome. So,
yeah. I give all the credit to God.
I know. But you're obedient too. So
I do my best.
Yeah. All right. Tell us of a time when maybe something out of the ordinary happened, like you've seen the miraculous, I know. Tell us something about that.
Okay. One of the best stories I had, and they're not stories because they're true, but one of the best things that happened, y'all know Pastor Lenz, right? And so, I don't know, 3 years ago, somewhere about there, he started having, and he wouldn't mind you telling this because he's told it in our church and it's recorded on video. So he started having chest pains and shortness of breath and things like that, and he went and had some tests done, and they said, "Well, it looks like your widowmaker artery is about 90 something percent clogged." He did a calcium test or something. His calcium score was super high, and I'm, don't quote me on the numbers, but it's supposed to be within this range, and his was like way over here, and so he was, you know, praying about it and thinking about it, and Joanne happened to be out of town. he called me and he says, or maybe I even called him. I said, "How are things going?" He said, "Well, I'm at the emergency room down at Harris Methodist." So, okay, wow. See, yeah, I said, I was talking to one of the people who goes to our church as a nurse for cardiologist. Says, "You know, you just need to go there." And so I showed up down there, and the family's on the way, and he was still in a lot of discomfort. And, they were prepping him to go in and put a stent in, what it amounted to, and to do, you know, go through his leg and do the and put a stent in, that was the only solution, and if you guys know Lenz, he's a man of faith. He wasn't overly concerned. He'll tell you his only concern was the stent's only supposed to last so many years, and he knew he was going to live longer than that, so he didn't want to have to go through that again. But I prayed with him, and this is not to my credit at all. It's all to God's credit. But we prayed, and I asked God. I said, "Lord, just make it where they go in there, they don't find anything. There's no blockage. There's nothing." And and that's it. Because if I've learned anything from Pastor Doug, you pray big, right? You ask big. You know. And so we asked big. And they said, well, it'll take about an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes. Y'all can wait in the room. And so we went out into the waiting room. And about 20 to 30 minutes later, this nurse comes out. And they says, hey, can y'all come in here? And, you know, after 30 minutes, you're thinking, wow, what's going on, right? And so me and Hank, his son-in-law, by then, they had showed up. And I think they were part of the prayer, too. Hank and I went back there, and then this nurse says, we don't know. It's got to be a miracle. We don't know what happened. They didn't find nothing. So there's no blockage in his heart. They said he's got to be here for like 2 hours, and that he's got to be here for 2 hours until his leg heals up, and he'll be back home tonight. And all the stuff leading up to that's gone. And he mentioned this a couple weeks ago. I'd forgotten about it. And he mentioned it a few weeks ago, and I thought, yeah, no, that's a when I was reading the questions, that's a pretty good one. Yeah. And you know, give God all the credit for that, you know.
Yeah. Now, it's great to see when God moves in our lives and be able to share that. Yeah. It boosts your faith.
I mean,
you're praying for somebody else, yeah, but then when you see it happen, it's like, wow, God did this for me because I prayed. I mean,
yeah.
You know, too, you're part of that. So that's exciting. So I know that you wanted to have, and I wanted you to have a few minutes to just share your heart about, you know, Pastor, what this church or how the church has, mm-hmm. has helped and your ministry and all of that. So just take that time right now and just share your heart.
Okay. Yeah. And so I've been thinking for the last little bit, you know, week or so what to say. And Pastor Doug mentioned it himself up here on the stage. He says, give credit to whom credit's due. And I've never been to an event at this church where Pastor Doug hasn't taken a moment to thank the person who made the hot dogs, thank the person who made and emptied the trash, you know, all that. And so, that's been an important example for me. And I have a few examples, and it's in an effort to give him honor for what he's done. And you know, there's probably only three or four people in my Christian walk that, you know, there's way more than that. Don't get me wrong. But there's three or four people in my Christian walk that had a life-changing effect and impact on me and what God's done with me. And he's one of them. He's one of the people. And I'll tell you that I appreciate him being a servant leader. There were a lot of times in the movie, not I say a lot of times, There were several times in the movie theater where it was just the Sanders family and Doug that morning because, you know, whatever reason, life happened and we were the ones setting up. He could have sat back and let us set up and stress over it, but he was right there in the middle running cables, setting up speakers, doing all that. And that servant heart, you know, set a good example for me going forward. And there has been lots of times when we first started the church over there that it was just me and maybe one other person, and it was a whole lot easier to do that, thinking, well, you know, I'm nobody special either, you know, I can get out there and work. So I use that as an example. So I thank you for that, for that example. There's also times where starting a new church is I could probably tell you how, you know. I could probably give you some good advice if you wanted to do it now, but back then it's like starting from scratch, and there were a lot of times I would, in the back of my mind, I would say, well, how would Pastor Doug handle this? How would Pastor Doug handle this? We know when we had board meetings, this is how Pastor Doug had a board meeting. When we had annual business meetings, yeah, this is, you know, and there were a lot of times, and I still find myself doing that. What would Pastor Doug do? And so you really don't know, a person really doesn't know how much of an impact they have on another life going forward. Very, very, I'm honored to be able to share some of it back to him. But a lot of times we do stuff good for people and we have no idea what good we've done for them and how that's impacted them. But he sowed seeds into God's kingdom through me and through those things. And I just thought that was awesome. And thank you. And he's a person of integrity. I've never questioned anything he said, other than never taking it out of being original with the intent that he meant to say it. Meaning that there was never, I never sensed that I was being manipulated. I never sensed that there was another agenda. He's as real here on Sunday mornings as he is waking up Monday morning and any other time. He's as real as can be. And I've used that as an example, as a model for me too, because we all have to be real, right? We can't attract other people to the kingdom if we're a Sunday person and then we're a Monday through Saturday person somewhere else, right? And so he's a great example of that. During our during my ministry training that I went through with him, he spent a lot of time with, I think Brian and I went through it, right? Together, at least the first level we went through, and he walked through like how to do a wedding, how to do a funeral. He gave me a 3 or 4 pages of how to do a wedding that he did. It was this whole script for a wedding he did, and I was thinking, well, okay, you know, that's pretty cool. I got an example. Well, this last February, Lynn's father passed away. He was gone, and we had a couple in our church that was supposed to get married. And as associate pastor, you don't do a lot of weddings and funerals. The pastor does that, right? You know, most of the time, unless the pastor's out, and he was out. And so I did the wedding for him. I was 100% prepared for it, as prepared as I could be, because I took what he did, I modified it for the person, I used the example that he gave, and went through that, and it was great. You know, the people didn't even know that that's the first wedding I've ever done, and that's to his credit, because he was interested in making me and Brian, and I'm sure you and everyone, you know, successful. It wasn't about him, and I just really appreciate that. I also wanted to mention when my father died back in 2013. He'd been sick for a little while, and this was down in Houston, and I was working down in Houston, and we made all the arrangements, and on the night of the viewing, the afternoon of the viewing, we're there, and you know, when if you're in a funeral and you're part of the family, the immediate family, you're busy, and I look back and there's Pastor Doug. He came all the way down to Houston. He's there in the foyer of the funeral home thing, and he's there. He didn't expect anything. He didn't come there wanting to be, you know, the center of attention or anything. That's not his nature. He came there. He talked to the boys. He hung out with them a little bit because they were teenagers. It was 7 years ago, so they were 7 years younger than they are now. You can do the math. And but just his presence there, and at the time, I can tell you I didn't appreciate it as much as I appreciate looking back at it now and knowing, because you don't remember stuff in a funeral. They'll tell you that. And, you know, you don't remember all the details. I don't remember what I was wearing. I don't, you know, none of that stuff. But I remember the people that were there, and I remember him being there and just loving on us and made the effort to come down there. And then the next day he was at the funeral and then went to my mom's afterwards. And just loved on her. And that made such a big impression. So I'm honored to be here to give him honor, because that's his nature. He gives everybody else honor. And so I'm just tickled to death to be here and be part of this. And I can tell you, you're definitely, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now without you have been intersecting my life. Without you setting a high standard, a high biblical standard for integrity, without your coaching, without your grace and your mercy. I've golfed with him. I'm not a good golfer. He's a very competitive golfer. That could have turned out way different. But no, he just smiled and, "We'll just play my ball, Jeff." And we just went out, you know. So that's his nature. I just so much appreciate you and Tasha. And Tasha, I appreciate you. I know I learned how to play bass guitar in this church. And it was one of those Lynn's things. Oh, you know, just try it. You'll be all right. And I know I probably thumped and I thumped and plucked away through a few services, and she just let me go right on and do it. And I can tell you one of the highlights of my life has been not only to be part of this church, but to be on stage playing music with my boys. And that allowed me to do that. And, of course, that's a springboard. And I play with the other church now, too. And if I can leave all y'all with one thing, is don't underestimate the good you can do for somebody else. That just a kind word or something can go so far for somebody else. You may never realize it. I think we're all going to realize it, like Pastor Doug said, when we get up to heaven and we're all looking around and we're all starting to compare notes. How did you get here? And you're going to see a lot of people are going to say, well, Pastor Doug, because of Pastor Doug this, or because of Pastor Doug that, or because of you. And so I just think, I thank you for the opportunity. I love you and your family. I thank you for having us be a part of it. And I'm excited going forward to know what God's gonna do in the future. So thank you.
Well, we are so glad you're here. Yeah, give him a hand. Give him a hand.
Pastor Doug.
What I think would be appropriate right now, Pastor, if you'd come, he said he's sensing some things in his spirit that maybe the Lord is moving him toward. Would you like to come and just say a prayer over him and lay hands on him, and then we can close out the service?
This is our story. This is our story as Vision Church. And I'm so grateful for sitting in board meetings and all those times. And he won't admit it. Maybe he will. There were times his eyes were rolling. It's like, oh, we're doing this again. Oh, why do we have to go over that? Oh, we already said that. Oh, so-and-so's asking a question. We should have already handled that. And because of his engineering nature, I also had a hunch about those people who would intersect with his life and minister to him and ring his bell. And so Dr. Miller came, and I thought, I just had to share this. He and Sam, or you just came in by yourself, yeah. And I could tell by the body language, he was not a happy camper. Yeah. And let me tell you the other side of that story. I said, I'm down in my spirit because I purposely got Dr. Miller. I looked through four different speakers, and I said, we've got to get Jeff Sanders baptized in the Holy Spirit. He's a trustee. I want him to be a deacon, and I think there's more that God wants to do in his life, and we've got to get this to happen. And I think he was late. And if he's not 15 minutes early, he's late. So he was late by Jeff Sanders' standards. Yeah, right. And I'm going, you turkey. I set this all up for you, and you're not even here. And then you're late, and then you're not very nice. Yeah. So I was praying for him anyway.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you something. I've known this man for a long time, and his integrity in the Word and loving the Lord. And saw him sit there and take it in, go down and get prayed for, then get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you, his countenance changed, his presence changed, and it's like he hit a turbocharger.
Yeah.
His eyes shone like they never shone before, and the Lord just opened up things to him. And one of my dreams has always been, I want to see people move through the church into leadership, into board meetings, and out into ministry. And so Lenz used to be on the board, now he's a pastor. You used to be on the board, now you're a pastor. So I'm not saying that everybody that gets on the board automatically becomes a pastor, but that's part of our vision at Vision Church, is that people would be released into ministry. And so I'm just so proud of this guy. And so would you just reach out a hand, and you've invested in the Sanders. You've loved on Sam, you've loved on Will, you've loved on Maxwell. How many of you remember when Maxwell and Will were just starting to play? It's not nearly as good as it is now. I'm just telling you what. How many of you remember when Jeff started to play? It was a little bit rough on the bass. But I want to tell you, he's a wonderful bass player. And Will's a wonderful keyboardist. And Maxwell's a wonderful percussionist. Amen. And they're wonderful people. You have been a part of that. God has poured grace and mercy and love through you. And you've invested in these people. And so we can sit here today and just reach forth the hand as I ask you to do. And let's just pray over Jeff. And Lord, we just pray over Jeff and Sam. He feels like there's another chapter preparing to open up. And he trusts us enough to share that with us. He's part of our family. He's part of us. He's deeply invested in Vision Church. And we're deeply invested in him because we invest in the kingdom. So, Lord, we're just praying for those alignments to come, those critical and strategic moments to come where those appointments, those divine appointments that need to happen. Father, I just pray that he would just rest in you, that he would listen for that still small voice, that he would rest in you and pay attention very deeply and very closely to that voice of your Spirit, because, Lord, you're going to open something up to him. It might not be anything that he expects. I just pray that he be light on his feet, easy and ready to pivot, and with that severe and complete obedience that he has always demonstrated. Lord, we just pray for that breakthrough, and we pray for that upon them in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Well, it is 10:59, and it should be fitting on Pastor's Appreciation that we close it out right now. So would you all just stand to your feet right where you are? And I just want to just speak a blessing over you. First of all, I want to say thank you for this very special Pastor Appreciation. Thank you for getting a hold of Jeff, and thank you for being willing to come. Come back into the shot. Come back into the shot right over here. Yeah, we've got people. We've got millions out there who are part of our service this morning. So let me just pray a prayer of blessing over you as a congregation. Lord, I stand before you this morning, and I thank you for Vision Church. I thank you for the people that have spoken this morning, and the people who are here. They're supporting, paying their tithes, they're serving. They're dumping trash. They're doing things to make the parking lot look better. They're doing things with flowers. They're doing things with people. They're greeting people. They're careful how they interact with people. They're concerned about people. They're praying for people. They're being moved by the Holy Spirit. They're stepping out in a gift of tongues, as well as they're stepping out with a gift of hospitality. They're serving in technology. They're just giving their best and everything. And they're doing it as unto you, Lord. What a privilege it is to be a part of a group of people like this. So, Lord, I just pray your grace and your peace in abundance upon each of us today on this Pastor's Appreciation Day, on this special day. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 The Lord bless you. Have a great day. Remember, no Bible study tonight. And it's going to be the Martin in the MPB day. So it'll be a while till the food's there. So the Lord bless you. We would love to hug your neck or say goodbye. Have a great day.